afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. To all of you, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, October 23rd, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
How was your weekend?
What's a weekend?
Oh, I don't know. A couple days during the seven that they gave us and...
But the good when you're not supposed to work, but you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed to work the other five for sure. And on the weekend, you're not supposed to work, but you do anyway.
Yeah, the weekend's there for what you don't get done during the five. They have two more days to finish.
Actually, I think it has more to do. I think it has something to do with what I haven't gotten done the last several years.
I hear you. Well, we get everything done here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's because our service is next. We are a powerhouse when it comes to service. And that's one thing I've always focused on is service. We do what we tell you we're going to do. And I had another call from a lady. She bought some of those 1.5 ounce Canadian coins that are minted by someone in California. And she would have bought silver eagles, she would have increased her number of ounces of silver by about 300. So, you know, folks, don't, and she says, wow, they told me they were, it was going to go up and blah, blah, blah. And I said, they're professional salespeople. You know, they con you, and I hate telling this to people. We tell you all the time on the program. I mean, what is it that these people have that they tell you that you fall for their lines, hook, line, and sinker? It baffles me sometimes. I mean, we tell you all the time on this program, and I get sometimes you want something a little different than a silver eagle. Hey, it's a beautiful design. I get that. Something a little different to add you to your portfolio. But you're not buying coins to have pretty coins. You're preserving your wealth. And the whole key is, yes, sometimes you have to pay a little more for a particular coin, but you still have to keep in mind the value. And so again, folks, bad deal on those 1.5 ounce coins. Don't buy them. She also bought some America the Beautiful 5 ounce silver. You know, you get a few cents over spot for them, but not from what she paid. And again, they tell you, oh, they've gone up over 28% and so forth and whatnot. When people start telling you that you need to be buying these on a percentage basis because they've gone up so much in a particular year, particular silver, you know, in an effort is why you should buy them. You know what? Check around. Shop around. And another gentleman, he needed to sell a couple of gold eagles. They were quarter ounce gold eagles. He says, I just need to sell a couple of my quarter ounce. Something came up, very little for one of my children or something. And he says, I went around town because I didn't want to ship them. And he says, they were paying me $30 to $50 back of spot. He says, why are they only paying that much? I says, well, you're lucky. Lots of times it's $100 back a spot. I says, and the reason is one or two things. Number one, they have to put those coins in the display case, and if they don't have the customers coming in to buy them, that's money that's sitting in their cases that they can't turn it over. And number two, they don't have the cash flow. You know, so there's a couple of reasons why, you know, they will quote prices so far below spot when people are looking to sell. And and the third reason is they make more money because they're only giving you, you know, $30, $50 to $100 back a spot, and then when they turn around and sell it, they'll charge, you know, $50 over spot for it. So again, you know, the local dealers do have a purpose sometimes, but you're not going to get the best deals from those dealers. But so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And today, let's see what gold is doing today. Let me bring it up here. My computer is just working so much faster. It had a lot of pressure on it this morning and had a nice turnaround. You had stocks fall today. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Gold turned around up $2 today at $1,283. Silver had a low of $16.73, reversed up 6 cents at $17.16. Platinum was up $3 at $929, and palladium was down 18 at $956. The U.S. DX today was stronger by 0.17 at 93.83. Crude oil holds at 51.87, up 3 cents. And let's travel to the paper markets today. And let's see here what we got here. The Dow was down 54 points today at 23,274. The NASDAQ was down 42 points at 6,586. The S&P was down 10 at 2,564. 10-year yield, 2.38%. Euro, 117, down 0.18. And let's see if there's anything of interest to talk about there. Not really. But there's supposed to be a big week of earnings that everyone is supposed to be prepared for. Didn't start out very well, but then earnings is supposed to be center stage, and then tax reform. There's a lot of catalysts out there that could move the markets. You have an election in Japan. You have the Catalonian crisis. Things are going on in Italy. There's a big European Central Bank meeting this week. President Trump is supposed to unveil his pick for the Federal Reserve. He said today that he's very, very close to announcing his nominee. So all of these could have some sort of a, you know, impact, or any of these enough to push that first domino over to make it the big collapse in the markets? Probably not. His choice for the Fed might be, but I don't think he's going to choose anybody that's going to impact the market significantly, because he's certainly riding high on the higher stock market prices. So we'll have to see where that heads out. He goes to the Asian companies the first part of November, which is only a week away. So here's something interesting. Al, it's in the headlines that this is the first time I heard that Facebook is looking to start charging, I guess, for news. I don't know if that's true. We have to see how that...
Are they going to charge to publish the news, or are they going to charge to write it?
Probably, it looks at the... They look like they're removing publishers from news feed unless they pay. So that's one way of controlling the news.
You know, one thing that bothers me, and I've been thinking about this a little bit, you know, you can go on to the... There are an endless supply of offers on the Internet from major institutions like, maybe Google or Facebook or whatever, and plenty of smaller operations, and they say free, all you got to do is send us your name, your address, your telephone number, whatever, your contact information. That's all. They're selling that information. That information has value. And when they advertise that they are giving you something for free, we're going to send you this free report. All you have to do is send us your name and address and your phone number and blah, blah, blah. You give them that contact information. They will make money off the contact information. And the point I'm trying to make is they're not really providing you something for free. If they were giving it for free, all you have to do, here's my email address, send it to me. All right, or here's another email address. I don't know, I can have a dozen email addresses. Here's the one I'm giving you. They don't need my name. They don't need my phone number and all the rest, my mailing address and so on. And that's what some of these outfits do. And my point is, it's not really free. They are capturing something from you that they're going to make money off of, and they're going to give you what they claim is free, a free report in return, or whatever it is, whatever free product or service they're offering. And there's an element of false advertising here that irritates me. I think they should be made to say, look, we're going to give you this report, you know, and in return, you're going to give us your name and your address and your phone number and so on, which has a value to us of X number of dollars. You're not getting it for free. You're actually paying for the report with your identification information.
Yeah, but you know what?
I don't know if that bothers other people, but it bothers me.
I think the most dangerous part of it all, with the amount of information that these social media companies collect, Facebook, Google, so forth, it's the most valuable to government. And that's where it becomes dangerous. And again, there is nothing private on the internet, and that's why it just baffles me. Something else that baffles me is, you know, people continue to purchase, you know, private things on the internet, and it's like, why? I mean, I just
convenience.
I get the convenience, but
people assume that their order and information will be lost in the haystack. There's so many transactions out there that they can't keep track of everybody, and therefore, I can buy things. I think that goes. I think it's a rationalization some people use, but it has nothing. It has no validity in the computer age. They have electronic digital devices that are going to record every little item, everything you plug in here. It's not a strain
every
on
click.
It. Yeah, and they
click.
Can sort. They can sort. They look. Want to look for Melody Cedars from Bang. Comes up. Tell everything that Melody's bought in the last, 6-10 years.
Every website I visited, everything I typed.
It's all
everything.
Available. I think, I don't mind that they follow me. I don't mind that there's the keeping eye, but I'd like to know, you know, when I forget a phone number, I should be able to call the government up and say, what was that phone number? I was talking to somebody on last Tuesday about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you tell me the phone. Oh, that was when you were talking to so-and-so. They should be able to provide that information to me.
Well, maybe
not just store it for their own benefit. I should get some benefit out of it, too, Melody.
But you know what's interesting is, you know, these computer companies have these data farms. And, I mean, just all this information is never deleted.
Yeah, I know.
Ever.
I know.
And it's kind of like, well, when are they going to delete it? Are they ever going to delete? Will they delete it? When are they going to delete it? Or that's just not part of, you know, it's really overwhelming when you think about how we truly are digits. We're numbers. We really are numbers.
Well, we're not, but they slide us into them. They keep us in
yes.
that.
Yeah.
I know a woman, a friend of a, she's the daughter of a friend of mine, who was convicted of fraud, felony, and did something like 2 years in the federal penitentiary back 15 years ago. She still can't hardly get a job. I mean, this has followed her down the road. All right, she made a mistake and the rest of that sort of thing. It's still very difficult for her to find a job. And it is maybe a lesson for people. Don't break the law, because if you do, it'll follow you for the rest of your life. But it's also a situation where somewhere along the line, you got to give people a break, and, you know, what's done is done. I mean, you know, the Bible says forgive. All right, fine. Maybe we should. I don't have to 7 years wipe the slate clean. 5 years, 10 years, something. But this is going to be there for the rest of her life, and she tries to get jobs here, there, and whatever. and sometimes she starts, and then they find out. Then they do the search. They find out, uh-oh.
Well, maybe she should be honest up front.
Well,
depending on what she did.
Well, maybe she should, but I'm just saying it was a bank fraud. It was bank fraud, but my point is, I've seen her situation, and I appreciate it from the outside. I understand this thing, and this is haunting her, right? In a way that she's having a she's all I can say is, you get caught doing something, you know, you got any parking tickets that you haven't paid, Melody, you better get that caught up. Because
I did. I had.
You better. Because if you don't, you're going to be. You won't be able to do business with your distributors. It's like, oh, you had a parking ticket back in 19.
But it really is, you know, it really is fascinating that you have these farms to store the information, and yet it's still, I don't know. Anyway, did you hear that the U.S. is preparing to put nuclear bombers back on 24-hour alert?
Yep.
If the order comes, the B-52s will return to a ready-to-fly posture not seen since the Cold War. The U.S. Air Force is preparing to put these bombers back on. The long-dormant concrete pads at the end of the base's 11,000-foot runway, dubbed the Christmas tree for their annual... angular markings, could once again find several B-52s parked on them, laden with nuclear weapons and set to take off at a moment's notice. And of course, this is Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. And Goldfein and other senior defense officials stressed that the alert order had not been given, but that preparations were underway in the anticipation that it might come. And that decision would be made by General John Hyten, the commander of U.S. Strategic Command, or General Lori Robinson, the head of the U.S. Northern Command. STRATCOM is in charge of the military's nuclear forces, and NORTHCOM is in charge of defending North America. So putting the B-52s back on alert, you know, again, this is in response to North Korea and how they're rapidly advancing their arsenal. I saw earlier today in a headline that perhaps North Korea is secretly mass-producing biological weapons.
Yeah.
Smallpox, plague. Didn't you talk just the other day on the
plague?
Talked
about plague last week in Madagascar.
And anthrax on U.S. troops. So this is, you know, and nothing scares people more. I think people are more scared of biological weapon than having a concern about a nuclear missile come on top of your head. So, because a lot more difficult, you get a lot more, I would think you'd, you know, it affects millions and millions and millions of more people.
Maybe.
Perhaps. So.
But it's a terrifying, I don't know, it's a sort of thing where once it's released, everyone becomes terrified. It may happen, it may have happened, it could be released in South Dakota. If, oh my God, plague in South Dakota, everybody's going to be worried. In Texas and Maryland and California, everybody's going to start, and you see it spread. It's a sort of thing, there's a strong psychological impact to it. We're going to have to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we were talking about them ready in the B-52 bombers, and on Friday there was a executive order signed by President Trump, allowing the Air Force to call back to service up to 1,000 retired aviation officers to active duty. By law, only 25 retired pilots can be recalled through voluntary programs to serve in any one branch. But the executive order temporarily removes this limit by expanding a state of national emergency that was declared by Bush after the 9/11 attacks, and as part of efforts to mitigate the Air Force's acute shortage of pilots. So the Secretary of Air Force, Heather Wilson, had said that the service was short, like 1,500 pilots at the end of the 2016 fiscal year. And so they're looking to retain their experienced pilots, but it's disturbing that they're using the state of national emergency to increase the bringing back the retired military pilots.
But it illustrates an important point that people should understand. The whole concept of emergency, national emergency, is a pretext for suspending law. Mm-hmm. In the context of emergency, you can do things that would otherwise be illegal. It's just like you said, by law, they can only bring back 25 pilots, but they need 1,000, so they declare an emergency, and now they can break the law that says you can only bring in 25 and bring in 1,000. Now, all they have to do is declare an emergency. This is a dangerous philosophy. It's used routinely in government. It's been used. There started a national emergency back in 1933 where they pulled the gold out of circulation. And so far as I know, that particular emergency continues to this day. Under the pretext of emergency, they can do things that are illegal. Constitution says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. We don't use gold and silver coin at the state and local level anymore. How do we account for that? We're living in a state of emergency. In a state of emergency, government can suspend your constitution. That's why this is so dangerous. They can, under the pretext of emergencies, Trump needs something. I don't care if he needs a hamburger with double cheese. He can declare an emergency and get one and maybe not even have to pay for it. It's an emergency. Send me that cheeseburger with double cheese on it. I'm being facetious to some degree, but I'm illustrating a point that's, want people to understand that emergency is an extraordinarily dangerous and non-constitutional.
Well, what concerns me also is this sort of supports getting the B-52s active once again. Mm-hmm. And so it's working together, which means they're preparing and prepping. And what's interesting, this is kind of just some information here. The long empty B-52 parking spaces will soon get visits by two nuclear command planes, the E-4B Night Watch and the E-6B Mercury, both which will occasionally sit alert there. During the nuclear war, the planes would become the flying command post of the Defense Secretary and the STRATCOM commander, respectively. If a strike order is given by the President, The planes would be used to transmit the launch codes to bombers, ICBMs, and submarines. At least one of the four nuclear-hardened E-4Bs, formerly called the National Airborne Operations Center, but commonly known as the Doomsday Plane, is always on 24 alert.
See, the thing that disturbs me about these B-52s, I don't think we need the B-52s to deal with North Korea. First thought is North Korea, but I don't think we need that. We've got plenty of other bombers and missiles and whatever else. The B-52s sound like we're considering
an
alternative target.
Absolutely.
It's not about, you know, I don't know what they have in mind, but I can't believe that they are just taking, they said, oh, what the heck, you know, let's do it. Haven't had the B-52s up for a while. Let's bring in 1,000 pilots and fly them around. We'll use them to buzz the Pentagon once in a while. You know what? It'll be fun. We'll get a big, everybody will get a big kick out of that. That's not what's going on here. This is being done for a reason, and I don't think it's necessary to deal with North Korea. I don't know that for a fact, but I don't think it's the sort of thing. It's saber-rattling that would be designed to impress China, Russia, who knows who, Iran, I don't know who. But it does not strike me as necessary for North Korea. North Korea, I mean.
Well, I don't think it would. I mean, if forces were out with North Korea, it would definitely be the forces that are supporting North Korea, like Iran. We've heard China says if the U.S. strikes first, we're behind North Korea. You'd have to guess where Russia's at. So, you know, and that's what's so dangerous about North Korea. You know, anybody thinks that you're just a little ant that you can stomp on, but they certainly have some ports from some very big powerhouses that is what we would truly be facing. Who knows what the little guy has?
The thing about it is this. You know, if China wants to sit back and say, we're going to back North Korea if the United States attacks first, right? We live in a world where I think it's possible to launch these attacks where the whole thing, it happens and it's over in a matter of minutes. Right? I'm not talking about the shock and awe thing that dragged on for 8.5 years in Iraq and the rest of that. If you're not planning an actual invasion and putting boots on the ground and all you want to do is simply destroy facilities, I don't see that it would take very long. And my point is, will China have enough time to react? I mean, we could bomb North Korea and be done with it before China barely understood what was happening. Do they have enough time to react? And what are they going to do then besides huff and puff? Are they really going to go to a nuclear war with the United States over North Korea? That doesn't strike me as likely.
Who knows in their minds?
I agree. Just last week
we talked about their plan to rule the world in 30 years. Maybe they'd condense it to, you know, 1 year. By 2022, we decided to change our mind. Who knows what lies in these minds of...
Who knows what lies in these minds? I mean, you're thinking to the point of, why would they go through to nuclear war?
I mean, and I think that's why the markets aren't reacting, because everybody thinks, well, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. Well, you know what? When you come across that they're not going to do that, guess what? That's when those things usually do get done. And who knows? I don't know either.
I'm just speculating. But if I had to guess, that's all it is guessing. I'd guess that the B-52s are intended more to intimidate China and Russia than they are to scare North Korea. Just say, you guys better sit down and shut up because we're going to bomb North Korea. And if you know what's good for you, you better just go to a movie or watch a baseball game or something.
Well, then they wouldn't
have... Don't bother us.
Then they wouldn't have used the State of Emergency Act in order to increase the pilots.
Well, they have to.
They have to.
I mean,
well, that's what I mean.
If you need 1,000 pilots and the law says you can't bring in more than 25, you have to suspend the law.
My point is this was just a show.
Yeah, no. I agree. This is saber-rattling. I don't think this is necessary. I mean,
but anyway.
It's hard to know what they're really up to. It's not just hard to know. It's impossible to know. They're not telling us.
It's
all
not,
you can do is guess.
Yeah, we're not going to know until...
until you begin to see the bright flash. They say, ooh.
Until
I guess they really were serious about nuclear war.
Until little Ruby starts glowing in the middle of the night. And but anyway, it's just a sign of how dangerous everything is in the world that we live in today. And it's almost like, who really is in control? Who is?
I don't think anyone is in
control. No, I don't. I agree.
There's a bunch of people who are posturing as if they're in control. Yep. And I think one of the big secrets is no one really is in control. And we hear evidence of that from Janet Yellen, for example, in the Federal Reserve, who tells us, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why there isn't more inflation. We don't understand. And they've said this in public. This isn't speculation. The people who are responsible for running the economy and presumably know what they're doing, they're saying, we don't understand what's going on. Well, that means they're not in control. If they're not in control of the U.S. economy, who is? And if the Fed isn't in control, I don't see that the government is in any more control than the Fed. It means we are just kind of freewheeling. We're going down the mountain slope in a car that maybe may or may not have brakes, but nobody's really steering. You know, we're just lucky the car so far is staying on the road, but here comes the curve and maybe we'll make it, maybe we won't. But same thing as we've talked about China, for example. The culture of China routinely lies in order to maintain harmony. It's part of their culture. They'll tell you whatever you got to hear in order to keep you calm. All right? And as a result, the premier of China has admitted, he says, he doesn't really know what's happening to the economy in China because he knows that the people running the various provinces are sending him, they're lying to him in order to keep him calm and happy. He doesn't have absolutely accurate information. He doesn't know if the economy is getting bigger or smaller or what it's doing over there. He's running China, but he doesn't know what's really going on. The whole world is like that. How many times have you heard people say we are in uncharted territory? That means they don't know whether to go left, right, up, or down. It's one of those things. You see this, and you look around, and you have to sit back and say, you know, there's a lot of risk out here. We have a stock market that just continues to rise and rise and rise and rise.
For no reason.
Bitcoin just keeps rising and rising and rising. It's as if this stuff is never going to end, and no one seems to even consider the possibility that there's some risk out here. This is a strange world. It is not going to just keep getting... The markets cannot continue to go up and up and up forever. Now, people think, oh, yeah, but they'll go up to, who knows? I don't know. Will the Dow go up to 30,000, 50,000? Some people, I'm not, but some people are wondering, how long can it continue to go? Everybody kind of knows that it's going to blow up. We know it's all, everybody knows that people that are in, they're invested up to their last dime in Bitcoin understand it's a bubble. But they're betting that they're smart enough to get out before the whole thing blows up. And the same thing is true with the stock market, or at least many of the people or institutions that invest in the stock market. They're betting that they can keep on riding this wave until they need to get right to the peak and they get out just before this thing turns and goes the other direction. Chances are they're not going to pull that off, but I think that's part of the mentality that keeps them in the market. Just keeps going up, keeps going up, keeps going up. Can't lose. Game is rigged. You know, it is, and the problem is no one, or virtually no one, only a small minority, seem to be even considering, you know, I think this is risky. This is risky behavior. These are risky investments. Maybe I ought to protect my investment. Maybe I ought to hedge. Maybe I ought to get into something that I can depend on. But no, that does not appear to be part of the market mentality at this time. So, you know, you do what you can and you know, try to warn people that there is risk and you could hedge against that risk by making intelligent investments that were not speculative but were investments and weren't part of a bubble. might do yourself some good. And one of the things you could invest in, for example, is silver. Another one is gold.
It's almost like it's such a simple solution that it just it's overlooked. And people, you're right, Al, they just don't. I mean, this is a no-brainer. But yet, the degree of risk that's out there, it's kind of like if you're in a really bad storm on a boat and the waves are 12 foot, well, you're okay as long as they don't go to 15 foot. But, you know it's coming, but you got a little while to go. So, I mean, it's like, hey, we're going to ride the wave and see what happens. And of course, that usually doesn't end in very good. I came across a little article today. Abby Joseph Cohen, you know, she's a CFA with Goldman Sachs. But I thought a couple of the things that she pointed out about the last 8 years of labor market was sort of interesting. You know, one of the reasons was declines for high school educated Americans. In 2000, the median household income in which the head of household had a high school diploma was about $50,000. A household headed by someone with college degree was about $100,000. Since then, on an inflation-adjusted basis, the high school-educated family has experienced a decline of about 15% in household income to $43,000. But the decline for a college-educated family was about 3% to 97,000. So it's a sign that, you know, degrees are important, but it's also a sign that, you know, people are getting decreases in their wages, not increases. Mm-hmm. And it also talks about the structural changes about how in technology and the increased productivity of workers. You know, we all point to manufacturing. It was all the job losses, the manufacturing leaving overseas. That was the biggest part. But we forget about technology and the productivity of workers. And studies have suggested an 80-20 split. 80% of the job losses were attributed to enhanced productivity and global competition. So that seems a little bit strong in the productivity.
If demand isn't going up and productivity is increasing, mm-hmm. it's going to result in labor being laid off. I mean, productivity going up is fine as long as there's more demand.
Sure.
But if the demand is stable and productivity is increasing, then we've got to cut. Then somebody's going to lose their job. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Do you want to do it?
I have a little package today, and it's one that we bring very often to the program. And everybody loves it. It's a great little beginner package. We have 21-ounce American Silver Eagles dated 2017, and, of course, a 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle. So we have Silver Eagles and Gold Eagles. This includes your shipping cost for $550. A 1-ounce Silver Eagle dated 2017. You get 20 of them in a tube. And, of course, the 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle, it includes your shipping costs for $550. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And Carla's waiting for your calls. So she's there to take your orders and... let's just keep going. What's next, Al?
I've got a little article here that's interesting to me. And it's from Cointelegraph, which is, they deal with digital currencies, and they're an advocate for digital currency and the rest of that sort of thing. And it's, the headline is, Digital Currency Looks to Solve Cannabis Industry's Cash Problem. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I bring this to people's attention is a lot of people are thinking about investing in the marijuana industry. Well, it's been legalized in a number of states. The growth is projected to be spectacular. It's already been significant. People are all excited about it. I'm not saying it's a bad investment. I'm just saying here's something you may want to consider. It says digital currencies may solve some of the legal cannabis industry's woes by becoming an alternative to cash payments. Despite recent state-level balance initiatives across the U.S. that legalized marijuana in one form or another, the drug still remains illegal at the federal level. While it's unlikely that the feds are going after the cannabis dispensaries anytime soon, the legal murkiness creates one serious problem. Banks won't deal with cannabis dispensaries. All right? Consider the ramifications. No banking means no payment process, which means customers can't use credit or debit cards to make purchases. Unfortunately, dispensaries can't give customers what they want, payment methods other than cash, because the banks won't do business with them. A lack of banking causes even more serious problems. Since the industry is forced to accept only cash for payments, that's the marijuana industry, marijuana dispensaries are an excellent target for robbers and thieves due to the large amount of cash they keep on the premises. All right, well, they go on one thing or another, but the reason I'm bringing this to people's attention is I seem to get email every day advising me how I can get fabulously wealthy by investing in marijuana. Well, maybe not. All right, I'm not saying what they're saying is that digital currencies are beginning to offer their services to the marijuana industry, and people will be able to buy their pot with cryptocurrencies. Or at least one or two of the cryptocurrencies, and undoubtedly more will follow. All right, well, maybe good thing, maybe bad thing. I'm just saying my main point is surprise, surprise. Up until now, the marijuana industry can't have banking services. Now, I'm not sure that means that it's no good to invest in marijuana industry. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's something that many of you might want to include in your calculations. Sit back and say, well, I'm thinking about investing in the marijuana industry. Well, if they can't do any banking, is that a consideration? Should you sit back and say, well, maybe I don't want to. Do I want to? Do I not want to? So I bring it to your attention for that reason. cannabis, according to this article, because the drug still remains illegal at the federal level, the banks won't process for the cannabis industry businesses. How great can they, how fabulous can their profits become if they can't get any banks to back them up? And, you know, consideration. So, Melody, I know you were going to invest. Didn't you tell me you were going to invest in the marijuana business?
I'm going to run right out there and do that right now.
I thought you were going to grow some in your backyard or something.
No, 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 no. Don't get me in trouble, Al. Don't get me in trouble. Watch what you say. But, no, there was... I can't remember what law it is, but there was a law to which there were several businesses that banks were to really review as unlikely to do business with. And I can't. Was it under the NDAA? I believe perhaps that
I don't know
was
what the
ruling.
NDAA is. What is
what Obama passed as far as. I'll have to get updated, and we can talk about this tomorrow. So I figured you'd
remember the NDAA. National Defense Authorization. Might be gun dealers. There was a list,
and I believe the marijuana growers at that point in time was one. Whether they changed it since they've become legal in several states since then, who knows? But just as just an observation.
Here's one from something called KrebsOnSecurity.com. This guy has some sort of an organization, business that follows security issues on the internet. And the headline is, "Breach at Sonic Drive-In may have impacted millions of credit debit cards." Sonic Drive-In, a fast food chain with nearly 3,600 locations across 45 U.S. states, has acknowledged a breach affecting an unknown number of store payment systems. The ongoing breach may have led to a fire sale on millions of stolen credit and debit card accounts that are now being peddled in shadowy underground cybercrime stores. Multiple financial institutions noticed a recent pattern of fraudulent transaction on cards that had all previously been used at Sonic, which means if you use your credit card at Sonic and I use my credit card at Sonic or anyplace else, somebody's keeping track. And if something goes down and all of a sudden your credit card is stolen and mine is stolen, they begin the first thing they do, they've already got the numbers. Where have you and I both done business? And turns out you were at Sonic and I was at Sonic, so that's where they start to look. Is this where the cards were stolen? Is there a problem with Sonic? My main reason for bringing this to your attention is Sonic. Just a little drive-in. I think most of you are probably familiar with it. I used to stop in. I haven't been there in a number of years, probably, but I used to stop in once in a while for a hot dog and a root beer float. And it's just interesting to me that you could go in there and use your debit card, your credit card, and it could be hacked. You would think that a little Sonic drive-in, who would bother to hack that? You know, at least I'd think that way. Nobody's going to hack my credit card over at Sonic. Right? Maybe if I was going to, the Cadillac dealership or something, yeah, they might want my credit information if they could lay hands on it. But Sonic, I'm putting my credit information at risk when I get a hot dog and a root beer float? Well, the answer is yes, you do. And it's just another illustration of how fragile our control of our credit information really is. We have reached a point where I'm not sure there's any place that you can do business. Is there any? Can we go to Sears? Can we go to JCPenney's? Can we go to wherever? Is there a place we can go where we can absolutely be certain that the information we provide when we hand that credit card or the debit card to the clerk, can we be sure that information is going to be protected? And if not, what does that tell us? It's another illustration that we got to be really, really careful.
Yeah, but to me, what I see in this is usually your fast foods was usually a little more cost-effective for families. And it just shows you that, how many? 5 million?
Yeah, 5 million. I said 5 million may have been stolen.
But how many were actually used at the Sonic Drive-In? I mean, if you're using your credit
card.
No, all
5 million were at the Sonic Drive-In.
All right. That's a heck of a lot of cards to be using at a fast food restaurant.
We're not talking about anything. We're talking about root beer floats. You know.
Well, no. The point is, Al, people don't have the cash. People are using their credit cards for food, and this again supports that this country supports again, once again, that this country that when we talked before about the incomes, how they're dropping. I mean, those are considerable drops in wages. So now they're using their credit cards. To me, that's not a strong economy. To me, that doesn't support stock markets hitting record highs. So, you know, I view it as more of a, you know, as an economic flag that, hey, people are using a lot of credit cards for root beer floats. If you can't afford a root beer float for a buck and a half, or how much is a root beer float? $6? That's pretty inflationary in my view for a scoop of ice cream and a three ounces of root beer.
Two, three, four, whatever.
But my point is, you know, things are getting more expensive, and when you have a family of four or five going to these fast food restaurants, you know, you walk out with a, you know, your bill is $30 or more. So again, there's multiple.
You know, we are really reaching a point where it's going to be important. There was a time I can remember when I was a little kid. My grandmother was a great lady, my opinion. And part of the reason was she was a wonderful cook. But over time, we've kind of lost, women have kind of lost the ability to cook in this country. It hasn't been a necessity. We've gone to fast foods and frozen foods and a bunch of other things like that. Not a lot of women are still good cooks, but it's not the same as it was when I was a kid, when almost every woman was a good cook. Well, the price of food is pushing us back in that direction. There's going to be increased respect for a woman who can actually produce a good meal, because it's not easily done. I know I do my own cooking. I can make food that's edible. I do okay at that. But I get sick of my own cooking because it's really, you know, I don't understand how to use spices. And I can cook it. All right, I can take it out of the freezer, take it out of the refrigerator. Yes, it's been cooked. It doesn't mean it tastes all that great. There's going to be a moment, and we're coming back on that, in part because of the price of food. The price of prepared food is so high. Where a woman who is actually a good cook, a lot of people are going to sit back and say, hey, I really respect that. That's an asset. It's not just a convenience. It's an asset. It allows you to have a good, flavorful meal at home without having to spend $30 going downtown. And I mean, just $30 for your lunch or a light meal down at, you know, McDonald's or whatever.
My aunt, it's
a cost-saving capacity to be able to cook well.
My aunt can put she can whip up a meal in a half hour, serves 10. And I mean, you can have everything from, you know, the protein to, I mean, from A to B. I mean, she has everything on the table in a half hour. It's like, how does she do that?
I understand.
And she's one where she never allows anyone in the kitchen. You can't offer her help. Nope.
She doesn't want anybody to see her secret. She's actually ordering out and having all the food delivered. Don't come in the kitchen.
I mean, she is a miracle worker in that kitchen. And it for me to produce the same meals that she does in a half hour, it takes me a day or more.
Yeah, I understand.
And she just whips it all up. It's very easy. So it is a talent.
It's a great talent.
Mm-hmm.
I got one more article here from the Miami Herald that we can close out the program with. And headline is, Yellen says Fed's extraordinary policies may be needed again. Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen on Friday defended the central bank's extraordinary efforts to fight the Great Recession and said they might be needed again. And she's talking about knocking the interest rate down to zero and buying hundreds of billions of dollars worth of bonds. She says, yes, the U.S. economy has made great strides, But she went on to say the Fed will likely have to turn to bond purchases again, even in a downturn that isn't as bad as the 2007-2009 Great Recession, which was the worst since the 1930s. Point I'm making. I don't believe that the Fed is saying we may need to use these extraordinary measures again, unless the Fed is anticipating another round of fairly extraordinary economic conditions. They're not saying we may have to knock interest rates back down to zero again because, you know, some triviality took place. The implication is they are anticipating that there's a problem coming. And much like Donald Trump is, we're going to fire up the B-52s. No particular reason for it. Don't get excited about it. We're just going to light them up and see if they still work. Well, he's ready for some extraordinary remedies, and Janet Yellen is also ready for extraordinary remedies. And this goes a little bit to what we talked about earlier, about maybe there is some real risk in the world. And if there is, maybe you should govern yourself accordingly in your investment strategies and whatever else you do with your money and your time. I mean, maybe it's a good idea to keep, you know, protect yourself. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.